Well, let's talk food. Delicious, fresh, healthy, local food. Well, there, we got your attention. That is the mission of Lisa Rose Starner, to get as many of us as possible to eat local. And there's plenty of that happening in Grand Rapids, from community gardens to microbreweries to food entrepreneurs and artisans and so much more. Lisa was invited to tell the many stories of the Grand Rapids local food scene, and the result is her book, Grand Rapids Food, A Culinary Revolution. Lisa Rose Starner joins us now from the studios of WGVU in Grand Rapids. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Cindy.
So why do you describe the local food movement in Grand Rapids as a revolution?
I've been working in the Grand Rapids community now for about 11 years, primarily with local food artisans, farmers, chefs, students, teaching them how to grow and cook food. And part of my own journey, it's sort of a participant, observer. It's really changing the way we not only eat, but relate to one another and how we get together as a community and how really we are making change in our community in a really deep and profound way that just beyond the table.
So, and food is the catalyst for that change.
Absolutely. Food, it's not just having a wonderful meal and sharing it with friends. Of course, that's a fantastic thing, but it's the connection that we make both to the food as it can nourish us, but to the land that it comes from, and then to one another as growers and just as friends.
Give us, if you can, kind of a history. What are the roots and the beginnings of the local food movement in Grand Rapids?
Well, I think if you look, stepping back out further than Grand Rapids, the local food movement has been underway for about 35 years across the United States, having roots both on the East and West coasts, and then certainly in the larger metropolitan areas, of trying to reconnect to the local food system, which had become quite decentralized, switching to industrial agriculture, large-scale producers.
Sure.
To feed the needs for the supply chain for the global food trade that we have now. And in Grand Rapids, I'm originally from West Michigan and moved away after school to the Bay Area in Napa Valley and in Berkeley. And, of course, we all know that their food community there is vibrant. You can grow things, year-round.
Sure.
And coming back to Michigan, and particularly Grand Rapids in 2001, the community was just starting to talk about how do we really reconnect the community to where their food comes from? How do we really make sure that our farmers markets, how we can grow our farmers markets, how we can have growers right around us be able to thrive and have vibrant and financially viable farms that grow healthful and nutritious foods that in a sustainable way that is really in good care of our local Michigan land, the wonderful Great Lakes watershed that we have. And so, looking ahead now to 2013, there's really been this groundswell nationally, an interest of everyone really being concerned about health and wellness, environmental stewardship. Moms just want to make sure the food they're putting on their plates is safe and not contaminated and not dangerous. And
sure.
They just really want to take back their dinner table for their families. And we're finally starting to see some of the work pay off of over the long, the long past decade. And the farmers markets are growing. More and more people are starting community gardens. And individuals are seeing the change that they can make in their own community, just themselves, and trying to make their own place where change can happen.
And you tell many, many stories in your book, Grand Rapids Food. You introduce us to so many people who are part of the local food scene. So for instance, I'd like you to talk to us about Aaliyah French, because here's someone who's building a reputation as a food artisan, and Aaliyah is 17 years old.
She is now a senior at one of the local high schools here in Grand Rapids. And Aaliyah is, being a woman myself and having the luxury of having had mentors and really strong women to look up to, I look at Aaliyah and I see someone that has so much potential, and she's so excited. She's a pie maker. Who doesn't love pie?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't love pie, right? So this young woman has a tremendous aptitude for pastry and for cooking And it's actually in her bloodlines. Her great-grandmother from down south was well known for her crusts and her baked goods. And Aaliyah, over time, started making her pastries and pies more regularly. And her mother, Love Our Moms, got her into one of our local commercial kitchens. And this really gave the Uptown Kitchen, which is in the Easttown area. The Uptown Kitchen is a commercial kitchen where food artisans that may not have access to a commercial space themselves can come into the kitchen. It's a certified kitchen. They can prepare their goods, everything from salsas to canned goods to sausages, and in Aaliyah's case, pies, and produce goods that are safe and certified for both the restaurant market and the retail trade.
So it's an incubator.
It is an incubator space. Exactly. So this young woman has had the opportunity to work in a full-scale kitchen and then, you know, get her pies not only at the farmer's market but into the restaurants and, you know, is looking ahead past college and not really knowing where her culinary focus is going to take her. But she's had this really profound opportunity to launch a business, procure the ingredients. She's extremely proud of her handcrafted work. I mean, if you make something,
sure,
there's an inherent sense of pride. And for Aaliyah, she's really not willing to compromise. She goes to the farmer's market and will purchase local eggs, and from the local eggs to the butter. And of course, if you make a pie crust, it's all about the butter. You don't skimp on the butter, or in some cases lard, depending on how you wish to make your crust.
Sure.
And so Aaliyah, you know, she just is this really creative young woman that, you know, having access to this incubator kitchen, the commercial kitchen at Uptown, has really given her a chance to make her own mark in the community. And that's really, I think, from an economic development standpoint, getting young women excited about being business owners, inspiring the trade. I mean, there's the artisanship. It's about being a tradesperson and having a craft. It's really, I think, awesome to watch.
I'm speaking with Lisa Rose Starner, who's author of the book Grand Rapids Food, A Culinary Revolution. And one of the issues you bring up in your book, Lisa, is the exclusivity of local food movements. It's a criticism lobbed at food movements everywhere. Can you talk a little bit about how that's played out in Grand Rapids and what's being done and who's working to address it?
That's, you know, you bring up one of the really big challenges within the food community, and also, I think, specifically within Grand Rapids. And on a personal level, for me, it's always been more than being a foodie. It's, people will frequently say, well, you like food, you've worked in the local food systems, you must be a foodie. And that term, I think, has acquired some connotations of exclusivity, as you,
yes,
the word that you used, as though it's all about the high-end meal or dining experience at the exclusive farm-to-table restaurant. And for me, and with this book, to really elevate the conversation to those that might not be as familiar as some of the food justice movement context and some of the issues, to think more, do we all have access to healthful foods, whether you have 50 cents or $50 million, how do we create a community where everyone does have access to foods that we know how to cook together, that we know how to take care of our families? It's really at the core of it, going back to some of the basic principles of knowing how to take care of ourselves. And also making sure we really look at the agriculture system and talk about and have difficult conversations around race, around labor, around migrant work, around immigration, and really talk about that and how does that, you know, within our food system, what are we going to do to make sure that we do have a more fair labor system, that we do create food and grow food in a way that is sustainable and is it promotes the agricultural stewardship that we need to promote and not continue to take away from our natural resources, particularly in Michigan.
Lisa, we have folks right now from Flint to Metro Detroit, across West Michigan, up to Interlochen and Traverse City, all listening to our conversation. Can you share with them what lessons from the Grand Rapids local food movement could the rest of the state learn from?
Well, I've been blessed with having had colleagues in all of those areas. In fact, I've worked up north in Traverse City on a farm. I have great friends doing advocacy work and growing work in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Detroit, and I was born in Flint, and so I have family still downtown and have watched the upcoming food movements and, of course, the urban agriculture really take root in a lot of those areas. And I actually flipped that question on its head in that Grand Rapids can learn a lot from the other communities who are also on a similar but very different trajectory that challenge, that have challenges in terms of resources, in terms of policy challenges. And, you know, I would really like to see a better dialogue happening between the cities and info sharing. That said, what we have to contribute is that in Grand Rapids, this has happened from a very ground-up perspective. We don't have large, significant infrastructure investing into the community gardens, for example. We, you know, lots of these stories that I chose, in fact, actually my manuscript was twice as long as what actually got printed, so lots of stories.
Oh, so many stories you wanted to tell.
I did, and my publisher said, really, you have to cut it down by half, and I almost cried. Yeah, it was very difficult, but really thinking, how do we go ahead and talk about the people deciding to do this regardless of the challenges, regardless of the resources. And, you know, in Grand Rapids, I've just personally, I've been here for a while. This is my town. These are my people. Mm-hmm. I was reinvigorated to go back and, you know, gave me a chance to check in with my friends, see how they were doing, to really talk frankly about the challenges. And then to hear that people are continuing to chip away regardless of some of the huge barriers. And, you know, I think that from my perspective, there is a certain dedication in Grand Rapids. It's, I guess, if you will, it's the bootstrapping. People continue to make it happen. And I think that we still have a long way to go here in Grand Rapids. And so, to your question, between up north in Traverse Bay, even up to the UP, they have a short growing season.
Sure do.
there are lots of great things happening in terms of season extension and high tunnel hoop houses that have given a lot of farmers, whether you're in Flint or out up north or in the Bay Area of Michigan, to extend the growing season, increase the market efforts, getting fresh foods into the schools. You know, we continue to chip away at some of these things, and there can be a lot that can happen faster, I think, if we continue the information share between the cities.
Author Lisa Rose Starner's book is Grand Rapids Food, A Culinary Revolution, looking at that growing local food movement in West Michigan. Thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.